Sugar Miss Kick, you're tuned to World Sound Radio's Sixth in Road. And we're going to get it on the popping as we always do. Appreciate you rocking with your girl, Renee. Let's get this show started. So, we got a guest calling in by the name of Ashton Smith. She's going to share her story with us. So, if you want to call in and join in and ask her some questions about her story, you can do so by calling into 347-202-0318. That's 347-202-0318. Yes. Whew. So, waiting for her to call in. But we're going to talk about some other things while we wait. And that's what Six in Road is all about. Okay, I see she's there. So give me 1 second. Let me open her mic. Hello, Ashton.
Hey, I was like, yeah, I'm there. Oh, how are you doing?
No, I had to refresh because I couldn't see nobody on the board. I had to refresh.
Oh, a board. Okay. Yeah, no problem, man. I got to give good graces to and credit to the folks who, you know, bring me here. It's kind of like brought to you by a commercial. So brought to you by Pastor Don Jr., CEO and the Elite 300 winning team member. So shout out to him. Shout out to his organization. So certainly you always have to do the brought to you by. So I am glad to be here. And I'm glad to tell my story to the public.
So let the people know who you are first,
mm-hmm.
and then get in, and then you can tell them your story.
Sure. My name is Ashton Smith. Of course, I gave you the introduction to who brought me here, and I'm grateful for that. I am a gold medal winner for the Special Olympics. You have the regular Olympics, the Paralympics, and the Special Olympics, and I competed in the Special Olympics since the 90s in various sports, not just swimming, but swimming was the sport that allowed me to go to their world and, you know, national games for the Special Olympics. And so, yeah, I'm grateful. You know, my grandmother raised me, you know, and without her, you know, a lot of things wouldn't have happened. And so got to give a shout out to that and, you know, to my mother who is no longer here. So it is one of those times this year. It's going to be a tough year. Without for the first time in my life for Mother's Day. That's around the corner, okay, and my mom won't be here. So I ask that all of y'all keep me in your prayers and give me a Texas prayer if you can or an amen, all right? So certainly we'll need that going forward for real. Amen. And you wanted me to tell my story to the public or to the people who are listening. And, you know, I know that of importance in my life to tell this story the right way. I do have a book that folks can also look up online. You can also look that book up, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. And for those who want to find out more about me, they can also Google Ashton Smith Special Olympics to pull articles and things that they can read on their own to kind of get greater detail. My story, it's a good one. It's a very good story, and I think that people will enjoy my story and understand by my story that I'm a hard worker. I'm a hard worker because I give all that I have to, whether it's sports, to people, those types of things. I give a 100% effort, and when I try my best and when I tell someone I'm trying my best, I mean that. I mean that 100%. And I gave my all to the Special Olympics, and so you know, I think that when you give your all to something, you expect it to give back to you, right? I think anybody would want that. They would want something to give back. Special Olympics did good things in my life, right? So there is constructive criticism, yes, but they did great things, you know, teamwork, different things like that. But that doesn't excuse some of the things that didn't happen in my life. I didn't get paid for the efforts I put in, the 10 hours a day, 7 days a week that I put into their program. And so I think we have to look at the efforts that I put in. I'm 37 years old, and the Special Olympics has these promises of helping us athletes, giving back to us, or saying that the monies help us rise as athletes. No, none of us get paid, and nor are we allowed to. And so that's what my book, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, it talks about that. And I think in my life I continue to move forward and explain my story with great detail so that people can make decisions on whether they keep their kids in a program or they don't. And at the end of the day, I gave 30 years of my life to have nothing to show for any effort. So any thoughts, so people who may ask questions out there, or even you, the host, what's your thoughts?
So So we don't have no one's online yet to ask any questions.
But what's your thoughts? Maybe, you know, when you Google me or, you know, when you type that in or it pops up on a screen, and that's anybody, not just her, anybody that may be out there, you can Google this, type this in, Ashton Smith Special Olympics, you'll be able to pull those articles and read about my story. And Special Olympics is not the only chapter in my life. I hope to be able to expound on that, right, and do public and motivational speaking, right? That will allow me to expand on my story. And certainly I want to see if the public comes on and see if they have any questions on this first part or about my life before I get into things like what I hope to do and more positive things. I wonder if they have questions, or even you, or what's your thoughts on what you hear about my life and what you see online if you're in front of a computer.
Like when you was behind the scenes, when you were telling me your story, I was kind of like, wow, why would they do that to you, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough story.
Why would they do that to you? If,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
For me, you know, then to think of when you mention the Special Olympics, we're thinking of what we see through the commercials. And the story you're telling is something we wouldn't think of.
Right.
From the Special Olympics.
Right. And they have a commercial, a company sponsored them. Jersey Mike's, I think, was Jersey Mike's ran a commercial you can look up online. And so they get these company sponsorships and things. But, you know, I know at the end of the day, now that we know these things, and, you know, I just try to tell people the truth to do better and know that I can be what I want to be. I can be a public or motivational speaker. There's hope in that, because this is America. I'm allowed to tell my story as long as I'm truthful and factual, and the facts are I don't get paid. That's not lying. That's not – I get no money for what I do. So, you know, if people are mad at me for that, I don't know what to tell them, but that is the honest to God truth. And when you put in 10 hours a day, 7 days a week to be in shape, not just working out, nutrition, things like physical therapy, other things to keep your body in shape, right? These are things that I'm doing and having to do to stay in shape, and I don't get paid for it, or I'm having to pay for transportation and food and hotels. People don't know that. When you turn 18 in the Special Olympics, they don't help you financially like they claim. You can run the Jersey Mike's commercial and you'll see what it says. It says it helps the athletes rise. That's not true. We get nothing. When we turn 18, they lie. They don't help us. The way they lie to you is tell you that they're going to help you as long as you're in their program. No, because when I turned 18, your program didn't help me. So those are things that having the proper way of explaining, not being angry, not yelling, not, you know, in a calm, rich voice like this over this radio, right? Because you want to be able to capture the audience and let them know these things called atrocities and exploitation, that's not right. Coercion, that's not right. But we overcome those things by being positive and saying, can I make this situation better by getting with the right people. Pastor Don, Junior CEO, that's the right person, right? At the end of the day, I told him the other day, you're the right person, because being able to have somebody that can see that you are making a valiant effort to want to do better in your life, then people like that begin to come into your life, if that makes sense. And I'm forever grateful to Pastor Don, Junior CEO. Because he came into my life and, you know, he's doing, you know, things to try to help me, because he even sees that this is not right. So he's trying to say, I can make, even though this may look bad, I am trying to make it for something good. And I want her to what? Profit off her image and likeness. And I shall be able to do those things. This is America. The laws in this country, they've changed. The law says what? I am allowed to profit off my image and likeness. And in the school board, it says once you turn 18 or upon graduation. right? There are certain circumstances that keep people in school past that age, you know, if you're disabled or something. But generally, once you turn 18, you can monetize your image. Do you get what I mean on that? You know, because I, you know, you're over that age, you should make money. You should get paid for what you do. Not told that you don't need money to live or function. The Special Olympics believes that I don't need money to live or function. That's just not true. My mom's not going to take care of me because she's not living. My grandmother's not going to take care of me because they're not living. My sister's not going to take care of me because she died, right? So there are people in my life. I have my oldest sister and things like that. But, you know, you can't count on people to take care of you because they may not be here is what I'm saying. And so at the end of the day, I must pick myself up from the miry clay, meaning the clay, and shape myself into what it can be. Whatever it is, like the military back in the day in the 90s, what can you be? You're all that you can be. And if I give all that I can to society, I know that someone out there will believe in me. And they always will believe in people that tell the truth. They will always believe in people that things can be researched and they can stand on a solid foundation and Google me and know that I'm telling the truth and pull up various articles. That's how you know you stand on a solid foundation, because if people can't Google things about you or look you up, then that's going to be a tough world to live in. But for me, I know that people can do this, and I want folks to do their homework and understand that the Special Olympics, it is not what – it's really not what it claims to be. But I know that my life, I'm going to make something better out of my life by working with the right people and going into a positive mindset. Does anybody in the public have a question or answer that they may want me to expound on or talk about?
So how did you get involved with Special Olympics?
Yes, I got involved in Special Olympics in the 90s, and, you know, that continued to this day. I mean, it continued to 2019, but I got involved in the 90s, of course, in elementary school and wanted to show people that disabled people, you know, come on, this is the 90s. So that was really the only organization around and pretty much still is the only organization around with, you know, to help people with disabilities, really. And the Special Olympics, it gave me an opportunity to do all of the athletic activities of running, track and field, or swimming. So it was motor skills, a bunch of other things, self-esteem. So going back to the 90s and being in a program like the Special Olympics, for somebody with a disability, it was life-changing for me because it gave me a chance to actually do sports. Because a lot of people, you know, they're not going to pick someone up, you know, on the basketball court. In regular society, if you have an issue, you don't get picked up at your local park, right? So Special Olympics was that opportunity for me to be involved and be involved even in the community, right? And so there's different reasons that that I got involved. And so I'm grateful as a child that it taught me a lot of stuff dealing with self-esteem. And, yes, I've been involved since the 90s with that program. And my grandmother was one of the catalysts and reasons that that I was able to be in the program in the first place. So, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, whoever answered that question. That's certainly a reason. Go ahead.
So who was there with you when you signed a charter?
Repeat that again.
I said, who was there with you when you signed contracts with Special Olympics?
You know what, as an older person, when I went to World and National, because you're talking about World and National Games, no one, we weren't allowed to have representatives, attorneys, nobody there to review the contract. It wasn't right. Even to this day, I've never been able to get any agreements. I'm glad you asked that question, actually. I've never been able to get agreements, contracts, or anything back from the Special Olympics that I had actually asked for. And that's most difficult, but I know that that is also coming. I just have to keep my faith because I know that as I continue to stand on the solid rock I stand on, the Bible says I build my foundation on what? Not sand, not this. I build my foundation on the solid ground, right? And so in my life, I build that foundation on a very solid ground and asking, you know, questions like that about these contracts, it's not fair that I was never able to have anybody review it. You know, it was not fair that I was not able to take it home. That's not right, you know, and that's called coercion because you're not able to have a third party or someone else review it. No, I wasn't able, I didn't leave their offices. I was driven to their offices when I signed it. So how could I leave? So I don't have, those are all factors, you know, that you look at and say, okay, I know that I'm telling the truth. And still to this day, you're not allowed to have representation, sponsorship, none of that in Special Olympics. And that's not okay. To put in the labor and the work that I did to look the way I do, physically in shape, that takes work. And you don't want to have contracts and agreements that, you know, feel like they enslave you. And that's essentially how I feel with the Special Olympics, because we can make money off your image, but you can't make money off our logos, video footage, or anything dealing with the Special Olympics. That's not okay. That's called archaic, right? And that's called a nice small word is maybe old-timey, right? That's right. So that way of thinking is out the window because we know laws have opened up the corridor for flexibility within making money off of image likeness and et cetera. So we know these laws will play a pivotal role. The Supreme Court ruled in a lot of that. That is the highest court of the land. And I know if I get the legal help that I so desire, that I'll also have favoritism in that endeavor. Amen. Go ahead.
When you were in the office with them, had you signed in the contract, did they tell you what was in it?
No. They kind of skimmed over certain things or told me things that were in the contract that were not, you know, just a bunch of other stuff. It's just, it's manipulation is what it is. It's just a form of manipulation, and I don't think that's right. I don't want to be manipulated or told. It's like the night I got suspended. They tried to make me sign paperwork. No, you're not going to forcibly make me sign anything or tell me I should sign this thing. I broke these rules. No, that's the same thing. They offered me a sheet with money on it and crumbled it up and chunked it in his pocket. Oh, you didn't want me to see that? Y'all crumbled that up quick. No, because I'm not signing anything with increments of money on it. You can give me a dollar for all I know in the dark. I don't know. No. So I signed nothing, and I got up and I left. Because I'm a kind of person that I'm respectful and honest, and I got up and I left because I felt like it wasn't right to sign a document without an attorney or without someone, even my family members or no one that was a third party that didn't work for the Special Olympics. Guess what? They weren't allowed to be present. That's not fair. I even got in trouble for talking to the police. Not right. Not okay. Not okay when you go to law enforcement and say, hey, there is something going on that's not okay, and you get in trouble for that. No, sister, should never happen. You shouldn't get in trouble for going to the law. It's not like I stomped my way onto a porch. No, I went to the law and got in trouble. So what does that tell you? What's your thoughts on stuff like that? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to deal with any form of abuse or racism. When I say abuse, I mean racism. And however people want to take that, Google Special Olympics Confederate flag. These are things that I don't have to lie about, right? Google's a very powerful tool. Cut on the computer and sit down. It's there. These are things that they support. Why? Because they do nothing about them. A closed mouth is a what? Contributor to the problem. That's what my grandma used to tell me. Inaction, when someone is hollering and telling you these things are happening, and inaction leads to no action, to completely nothing, that's a problem. And that's what has happened in my life. I have had an inaction life, meaning an organization, when I cried out, did not do anything. And that's proper. They did not do anything. And to them, not doing anything was proper for them. But me going to law enforcement was wrong for me. But no, I feel like I have the right to do that. Amen, I do. I bless you. Amen, I do. And so every day I know that, you know, in this country state, I call Texas very country. I don't know how to explain. I don't know. you know, we have problems, and we have a long way to go out here in Texas, you know, and the stuff that we live and face out here may not be in other states, but racism is alive and well out here in Texas. And nobody, no matter how educated you may be as a Caucasian person, will say that politically correct amen. And doesn't matter, right? Because at the end of the day, you can't live in my shoes. You can't live in my foxhole, right? You can't live the life that someone else lives that may be black or other races. That's all I'm saying, right? Because those are things that only I shall or have to endure for being the skin color that I am or may present. So at the end of the day, if you're a white person, guess what? You're not as dark as a brown bag, so your colors can't present. They did this back in the day, unfortunately, out here in Texas and everything. If your skin was the color of a light bag, you were all right. If your skin was too dark, oh, no. They'd seat you at the door. You got your food in the bag. So it was just different things like that. I also realized that people who may be different, I respect all people, but I know that those who can help solve these problems, it's not just a black thing or a white thing. Everybody must find a problem that they face and endure and try to solve it. Those who cause these problems in life, solve them, you know. And so we all must love each other, treat people right, shake the hand across the aisle that somebody's different to you, whether somebody's a Republican, Democrat, or whatever the case may be. Let's try to treat folks how we want to be treated and pay people their work. That's what this conversation's about, paying the work. Paying the work for the labor that people put in. This is not the 1800s. We're not living off of bread, pennies, and whatever they live. This isn't it. This is the 21st century. Welcome to it. And the 21st century says what? You must pay me for my labor and work that I put in. Right? If I'm getting a paycheck and you're a job and you're saying you pay me, then you shall pay me. If it says volunteer, then that's different. But I competed as an athlete. Whole different ball game. 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's not a volunteer thing. It's not volunteer. When you research a volunteer role, some volunteer offices, they have about 4 hours. You know, some people do that part-time, or we'll say part-time, right? So at the end of the day, I didn't have a part-time effort, amen, when I was in the Special Olympics. I gave it 100% my all, and I know that I'll be rewarded someday for it. Amen. And so I know that those in the audience and other people may want to have questions about contracts or why they didn't give them back or why they treated me that way or why they didn't speak up about the racism that I suffered at the hands of another athlete. Why not? Right. So these are all questions that the public may want to know or others may ask. You have folks that have come on and they may ask some questions. What do people in the public have any questions about these three things that I mentioned? Go ahead.
So, did you ever ask for copies of the contracts you signed?
I did ask for copies, and they didn't give them back. And so that's the problem. You know, and I'm glad you're asking these questions. These are fair questions. They didn't give them back. It matter what, how I ask or whatever, you know, I'm not a lawyer. And so the way to get that, those things back, that's through a lawyer. So, you know, at the end of the day, time it's going to be working. So at the end of the day, I'm going to be working to make sure that those things happen in my life because I deserve to have that back because I gave my all. I deserve to not be told no. So 100%, you know, it's appropriate and asking politely and nicely. And I feel like I gave my all to the Special Olympics. I even had a recording where I said, hey, I don't want to get in trouble. I just want to, you know, do what I can. You know, I'm reporting to you guys and that's threatening harm to me. So those are all things that contractually I didn't sign any agreement giving any athlete the right to cause harm upon me. So when I told the Special Olympics, if y'all think I signed something like that, y'all must be out of your mind. First of all, that would be absolutely illegal and atrocious. I would never sign anything giving up my right to not speak to police or some stuff like that. That would be illegal. No, I have the right under federal and state law to talk to law enforcement about anything that I deem that's not right, and they told me that I didn't have the right to do that. Yes, I do. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that I got kicked out of the program because I spoke to the police and they told me I shouldn't have. And I stick by that. I don't waver from that, period. And I feel like that is the reason that I'm no longer with the Special Olympics, and a couple of other reasons. But I feel like that's one of them, 100%. So I think that it's fair that they only get it back. Thoughts on that, or other thoughts on things that we mentioned? Folks can say that. Certainly, what are their thoughts, or what are your thoughts now?
So you said you called the police. What do you think the police would do when you shared what was going on?
They reported everything and kind of wrote that down. And, you know, that's been a good help to have that reported and staying there. But because the person's in another state, they couldn't really do anything. But it's documented that I went to them. So that's the most beautiful thing that I could have ever done, is get that stuff documented that, hey, I went to Special Olympics about this and they did nothing about it. So it's just a wonderful thing to be able to have it documented. Whether I get in trouble or not, I'm going to call the police, because I felt like it was not right for this athlete to do the things that she did. I don't think it's okay. You know?
Yeah,
I don't think it's right.
No.
In other words, they let her play.
Did anyone try that you told your story to try to help you? Besides Pastor Don, did anyone else try to help you?
Yeah, a couple of other people, they tried to help me, and they were being blocked on social media by the Special Olympics and a couple of other things. And so it's just not, you know, they're such a juggernaut. You know, you really, once you get an attorney involved, then everybody else can come together as a team and start to rally around that. And that's, you know, Lord willing, that's what I'm going to do. You know, Lord willing. You know, Lord willing. You know, I'm doing everything that I can in my life to make it. You know, and making it is telling the truth. And it shall set you free. 100%, because these things are going to be made into a positive. And I'm grateful for Bob Jr. CEO. I'm grateful for him, because he's right on time. And I'm grateful for that he's on time. And, you know, he's prayed with me and stuff. So I'm forever grateful for him, because, you know, my mom's not here anymore. And so to have somebody like him, I'm very grateful for that, and knowing that the Special Olympics, it will catch up to them someday, right? And so for folks who, again, want to understand my story, get my book called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, folks can also cash at me, you know, because that goes to helping me in my life, because I don't get paid by the Special Olympics. You know, that'll help me as I grow with speaking engagements, other opportunities, travel, because, you know, traveling is expensive, so you have to have money to do things like that, or whatever the case may be. Pertaining to your career. So I'm very excited in this life and working and diligently to do everything that I can to tell my story. And so I certainly want the public to know that this is very real, and I continue to step up to the plate and be there. What's the questions that you may have, or others? I heard a bell, so I didn't know. I'm sorry.
I got a message.
Oh, let's see what they say.
No, it wasn't about you.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I thought it was about a question.
No.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Sorry.
But if anyone on the phone has a question, just press the one on the mic and ask her a question.
Okay. See if they're coming in. Let's see if they'll answer a question.
You know.
Let's see what they say.
So how did
but yeah,
you,
I'm glad.
How did you CEO meet?
How did I meet?
Yeah, how did you and Pastor Don Jr. CEO meet?
You know what? You know, I met him. I actually, you know, found him online, and I found him on, I think, LinkedIn, right? And we just started talking and everything, and I'm grateful for that. And he looked up my story and researched me, and I was looking up him. And, you know, I'm just absolutely grateful to be working with him. And, you know, he's a consultant, and so that's what he is. So I'm absolutely grateful to be working with him. And, you know, he's going to be taking me where I need to go in this life and telling me what it takes to have a career, right, in this entertainment industry on the paid side. So that's another reason to work with Pastor Don Genius CEO. I'm very appreciative of his time and what he's trying to do to help me.
So I have someone who want to ask you a question, so I'm going to open their mic. God. So 4061, what's your question?
I just came on, so I just got on. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Don CEO Jr. of the Women's Team 365. So I'm listening. I just came on right now.
Okay.
Hey. Glad he's on. Glad he's on. But yeah, that guy right there, that's the man. So I'm glad that he is on, and I'm glad that he is listening. So he'll be able to ask questions too if he'd like to. If you'd like to ask questions, you can too. He knows my story, but he can ask questions too if he like. You like? Trying to listen.
Okay.
Is he there? I was trying to listen to him. I didn't hear. But yeah, that's the man. That guy's awesome. Absolutely fantastic. But yes, if he wants to ask a question, certainly. But yeah, I'm glad to be here to tell my story, and I appreciate you bringing me here and letting me smoothly tell my story and letting the public know, and those who want to ask questions, certainly I'm grateful for it, and I'm thankful for a platform like this, and I'm grateful to be a guest because it's very important to continue to work with people and continue to work with teams and continue to do what I can with Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and continue to do what I can to make my life better. And like he says, we're going to make the world a better place. And if we make the world a better place, then that works out for everybody. And so that's why you team up with people that want to make this world a better place and continue to work at it. It's not something that's going to be done overnight like boom, shebang, but it's something one step, one thing, one project, one day at a time, 1 week and 1 year at a time. We continue to get this stuff done and put one foot in front of the other, okay? And when we do that, we'll be able to achieve anything that we want to do. And I speak positive affirmations, right, because that's my hope, is certainly being positive in this moment and knowing that that's what it takes despite anything that people may be going through in this life. Being positive is going to take you a long, long way. You can make a lot more with sugar, all right, amen, than you can salt in this life. And so if we want to be sugar people, let's continue to be sugar people. If we want to be salty, nobody wants that. So at the end of the day, let's make sure we pick each other up, lift each other up, and be positive. I'm very grateful for that. Do you have any questions or anything that you may want to ask me also?
So we have another person who wants to ask you a question. So 6425, what is your question? 6425, your mic is open. What's your question? Okay, I guess they raised their hand and
are they there? I couldn't hear them.
Hello?
But yeah.
6425? I mean 6426. My bad. Oh, my eyes.
Oh, yeah. I'm K-Ro. I'm LSG Music. I'm Louis Gregory's artist. I'm also with Pastor Don, Winning Team 365. I was just tuning in, listening.
So you have a question for her?
Not right now. I just tuned in.
All right, I'm gonna put you back on mute so that if you have a question,
all right,
I will open your mic back up.
All right.
Well, I'm grateful. You know, my story is a powerful story, man. And, you know, these folks that do have questions, I want them if they've just come on the line. So for folks who may have just come on, because it is, you know, later in the evening in some places. Folks may be on different coastlines and whatnot. So I am grateful to be here. Pastor Don, Jr., CEO, the Elite 300 winning team members, a part of that organization, me, I am grateful to have him as my consultant, hooray. So for those who may be coming on late, I was an athlete in the Special Olympics, and so folks can Google me again, Ashton Smith Special Olympics. You folks can also go out and get my book, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, because it talks about my story of overcoming adversities, but it also talks about the exploitation of athletes and those with disabilities. And that's important to know, because we may be forgotten, right, in a society, right? We are the one percenters, or the 1%, you know what I mean, in the world that have a disability. 1 to 2% of the population, right, in the world have some type of disability. So you can easily think about it this way, that it's easy for us to be a type of population that may fall through the cracks, or we may be forgotten about. And so I want people to know by the sound of my voice that, you know, you don't have to be a person that looks disabled or these types of things to feel forgotten in this life. And so we all must try to overcome that and make sure that we put our arms and our hands around people and let them know that they're loved and that they're cared about. And that's the best thing, and the, you know, the brightest thing that we can do in this society, is taking all of the negative and say, you know what, I can take that and I can turn it into a positive. Pastor Don, your CEO, taught me that, told me that, right? You want to make sure that you can have a balanced conversation, which I think this is a balanced conversation today, like a balanced breakfast, right? So at the end of the day, we want balance in our lives. Did someone have a question to say?
So I wanted to ask you, has any other person from the Special Olympics, as far as the athletes, come to you and said, I had the same thing happen to me?
Oh, wow. Who said that?
I'm asking you, has any other person, athlete that was a part of the Special Olympics, ever come to you and say, I know I've been through the same thing you've been through with the Special Olympics?
A lot of them have. A lot of them have, but the problem is a lot of their parents that control their lives have blocked me on social media from talking to them. So it's one of a catch-22, because I don't have arbiters over my life, right? An arbiter can be a caseworker, a ward of the state, so and so on, right? But I don't have anyone that controls my life in this way. I don't have to answer to a person to ask them at the age of 35, can I go somewhere? Like, no. Those are things that the Special Olympics athletes are under, right? People don't realize this. A lot of these people live in group homes. They live with their parents or live with other people because they couldn't function on programs like Section 8 or, you know, regular housing or whatever. They just couldn't function, a lot of them. And so you look at the endeavor of Special Olympics, and it really does put its might around people with disabilities. You know, it really does, but that might and that shiny glitz and glamour, it's not what it seems to be. And so at the end of the day, we must investigate, look at, and research. I always tell people it's very important that we do these things when it comes to programs like this, but also knowing that we can overcome things like that. Amen. So it's a very beautiful, wonderful thing. Amen.
Has any lawyer looked over your case and said, this is a case I need to take?
I'm in the process right now of hopefully having that happen. You know, I'm waiting for that person to get back with me, and when they do, they are checking some boxes right now, and they said they'll get back with me, and they said it's going to be a big deal because, you know, I've had certain attorneys look at my case. Some of them, it overwhelms them, so they quit and those types of things. But my case needs to go to a federal court and not a state court. So those are all big things that could help me by having my case move to a larger venue or a court like federal. So I feel really good about everything. I feel good about the process and where we're going.
Someone asked this question.
Mm-hmm.
your case, it goes to court, and let's say you win the case, what do you want to do differently going forward?
If I win the case, what I would like to see would be a separate board where they have to answer for certain things. You know, they can't, and then they have to pay the athletes. Like, you have to allow us to get paid, right, to make money off our image. And I've never told Special Olympics to pay me directly. What I've said was to allow me to make money off of my image. And they said no. I said, me making money off my image, it does not come out of your pocket. So why am I now restricted from making money in America? The public has nothing to do with the Special Olympics. I wasn't allowed to ask the public for money. I was allowed to be destitute, homeless, and broke in their program. Oh, yes, I was left homeless and destitute with nothing and with the promise of getting out of that situation, which is, you know, it wasn't because of them I got off. It wasn't because of them, you know. It wasn't because of them, you know. And you know, my thanks go out to, you know, people in my family and others who knew about my situation and those types of things. Because being homeless, it's not fun. It's not a fun experience when a program's using your labor to profit and gain. But you know, you can again rebound and overcome that. And I believe that I can, and I know that I will. And I say that I will, right? Because you have to have affirmation in the airwaves, and I feel like that. I really do. The Elite 300 winning team members, with that type of chorus around me, I shall be able to get it done. Amen. Amen. Shall be able to get it done. We shall overcome, you know, for real. Questions on any of those things that I mentioned?
So what do you want to tell the people who may say, I want to join the Special Olympics? What do you want to tell them before they really make that big decision and join the Special Olympics?
No. Like, no, I would not put my children in that. And I would explain why, you know, because you're not going to get paid for what you do. You're going to be in debt or bankrupt. You're going to have to, you know, if you're a parent, you're forced to pay for that out of your pocket. The Special Olympics, they're not going to pay for you. So say if you have a child that wants to participate, you have to come up with the money. You do. Special Olympics, they don't pay for anything, or they make the school districts pay for it. It's a joke, you know, and I researched all that. School districts are made to beg and raise money, and Special Olympics, they never participate in the raising of funds. You know, these school districts, they do, but Special Olympics only participates in front of the cameras. They do no, it's like, you know, they don't do anything to benefit these athletes. And they have these people swimming and parents going bankrupt. Parents can even tell you that they pay for their own hotels. I have messages on social media where people have said, oh, yeah, as a parent, I've had to pay for stuff. You bet you I've kept those. You bet. Because that's not okay. To deceive people in believing that you take care of people. That's deceptive practices. That falls into the line of those things, right? If I make things for other reasons, I can't sell it deceptively, right? So if I sell weight loss products, I can't say, hey, this overnight can melt the fat away. Wayne Hunter, call, melt the fat away. I can't do that. I can't make up bogus stuff, and that's what the Special Olympics, you would say, that in that capacity, some of the things are leaning on really, really thin ice is what I would say when it comes to certain things with the Special Olympics. And the honesty and trust factor with the public, they're thinking they're investing in helping us. No, no, no. So I would tell people, no, do not send your children to that because you'll be on the hook for thousands of dollars. Telling you the truth, and that is why. 1-800, that is why. Go ahead, Mal.
So when you were writing your book, did you have to tell them you were writing a book?
No, I didn't have to tell anybody. You know, as an adult, I felt like as long as I told the truth about not getting paid, keeping it truthful and factual about the rules, then I was good. And I went with that and kept it truthful and factual about the rules. I don't get paid, and here's why. And so when you write a book about that, you can't get in trouble for that, right? Because you're telling the truth. And the special ones, they know that. They know that I'm telling the truth. This is not something that that I'm making up. And certainly for you, I want you, too, to send me the link to this show, and I'll share it with Pastor Don, your CEO, and others so they can share it on their platforms and social media, because the more people they can listen to this after hours, that works, too. So text me the link to this show, ma'am, and I'll get it up and get it shared. Amen?
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate that, and I know that life is going to be better for me, amen, and I speak that into existence because I have the right person and right people in my life. Go ahead.
In writing your book, did you write it all yourself or had somebody write it for you and you told them exactly what you wanted in your book?
No, I told them exactly what I wanted. It was done, you know, really, it was done in a fun way and recorded, and we just had a good time doing it, and they sent it off somewhere, and they transcribed it and got it going. I don't know much about writing books, but that's the way it was explained to me. So I'm very grateful that that process was able to happen, because seriously, I didn't even know if I would have a book now that we're talking about my book. Let's transition to that, because I didn't even know if I would have a book. Bless you. I didn't know if I would have a book. I did not know, because the pandemic happened, right? And I didn't even know if the place that was making the book would be able to print. Remember, there was issues with paper, and they kept saying, we don't know if we're going to have issues. You know, you remember that, right, with the toilet paper and other paper products? They were telling people that, yeah, it was bad, so I didn't even know if they'd be able to bless you. I didn't even know if they'd be able to do anything with a book. So I'm grateful that Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream was absolutely realized and written and put together. So I'm absolutely thank you, you know, thank you to that publishing company, the gentleman who put that together, thank you so much, and, you know, brought to you by him and the company that put that together. So I'm absolutely grateful for that experience of knowing that you folks can go out and go get a copy of my book. Again, Swimming Upstream to Realize a Dream, you'll like it. Good story. And please leave comments on Amazon and put them in the stars, because that way people can see that there are comments on the book. So please do that. What were you going to say? Go ahead, ma'am.
So you said you started in the 90s with Special Olympics?
I did. And I competed all the way up to 2019. And,
so
I, and that's when I was told to leave.
So what I want to know is,
mm-hmm.
Does it start from, and what age does it end at?
I think you can get in Special Olympics. I think someone told me, don't quote me on that, I think it's you can get in there at the age of 5, you know, elementary school age, please. So we'll say elementary school age. And then you can compete up until age 100 or until your body can. Who wants to compete until age 100 and be broke? Not me. So so I might as well start making money now while I still have a fighting chance, and before I'm over the hill. You know, when you're 50 years old, it's kind of, it's never too late to learn, but it's certainly too late to play athletics. So you don't see very many 50-year-olds in professional sports, let's be real. So I'm going to be 40 in a couple of years, and you barely see any 40-year-olds again in professional sports. So I knew that, you know, that window for me, it's not necessarily closed. I have hope and things that someday that will be, and I have hope because the next transition is hoping to work with the Paralympics. And I'll get with Pastor Donji, your CEO, and we'll talk about those as options and avenues because I am an athlete. And we're going to talk about serious ways and avenues how I can monetize my image through the Paralympics and working with certain people. So I'm grateful and thankful to him and others for continuing to pour into my life and knowing that I am becoming what they need me to be. Amen. Repeat that again.
So you from elementary to your high school to compete. Do you?
Yes.
Even though you're going through this issue with them, if they gave you the opportunity to come again, would you?
I would have to get paid. That would be only under the pretenses that they would allow me to monetize my image. That is a factual question. I'm glad you asked, because someone said if they let you come back, they're going to have to let me come back with conditions. And those conditions could be listed as you're going to have to, number one, allow me to get paid. That is the bottom line. And that they need to create a governing board, meaning there needs to be oversight or an oversight board, something where athletes and people like me can go if there are problems. Not, I go to the CEO and I'm kicked out at 10 p.m. at night. That's not a governing board. That's not what they call arbitration. I didn't even have the right to arbitration in that program, but state law says I can't. No, they kicked me out at 10 p.m. at night. Why do they do that? Because they want to kick you out at 10 p.m. at night, because p.m. is what? Not business hours. So they can kick you out before the next business day starts. That's why they did that, so that I wouldn't be able to file arbitration. And that's not okay. Not at all. That's why they showed up at my home. Didn't leave that place until that time. You know, that's not okay. I showed up at a restaurant near where I live at night and told me to come outside. And that's not okay. It's not okay.
A conversation with the people from the Special Olympics in your state, were their lawyers present in that conversation?
No. A lot of the high ranking staff were present. I didn't get to have any high ranking anyone. Not anybody in my family or even was present. They had all their staff. Their main head staff were present. Tim Martin, Dalton Hill, those are CEOs. Tim Martin, he's the CEO for my state. Dalton Hill, he's an Area 11 director for their program. And Everett King, he was a black person like me, and I felt like, you know, he didn't do anything to help with these problems. These people are public figures, so they, you know, they're public. You know, these aren't private folks. These folks are all over the internet. So once you're a public figure, you can't be mentioned by law. And they're a public figure who works, they work for a company. Amen. So at the end of the day, Tim Martin's the CEO, and he did nothing about it and pretty much celebrated it by kicking me out the program. Remember what I said earlier? Inaction means what? No action. And when you have no action, that means you're choosing to do nothing. That's not okay. We cannot live in a choose to do nothing society, if that's the best way I can explain it. Amen. And that's what they chose to do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's only fair. Anybody in the public have questions or closing questions or other questions?
Are they tracking your social media?
Repeat that again.
Because you're coming out with your story. The people from the special in your area, are they tracking your social media to see what you say about them?
They were. Like, there were some times they were blocking my social media and all that, and I said, it's not right. I said, guys, I'm not in your program. Here lately, they've left it alone because it's been 2 years and stuff. But they were. They were censoring my social media for a year. During the pandemic, especially, they were censoring my social media because they knew I would be at home on it. They didn't want me to say anything. I said, no, I'm going to say something to the police, to anybody, because these things are not right, because I gave my all. But that shall not be the chapter of my life. The chapter of my life will be writing this, getting this book where it needs to be and sold. The chapter of my life will be public speaking and all of its hopes. The chapter of my life would be starting a radio show, a podcast. All these things can be possible, and I'm hoping to do that.
So when you...
I feel really good.
When you started your social media, I know that you were talking about them. You tagging them in your...
I think... some of them weren't tagged at all. Some of the people in the Special Olympics, I was friends with them and whatnot, and a lot of them stopped talking to me. But Special Olympics would monitor my social media regardless of what I did. That's how they were. They didn't like you saying anything negative about them, even if they weren't tagged in something. They didn't like it. They didn't like it.
Because I hear what you're saying, but I'm trying to figure out how would they know that you had any type of social media before you...
Because when I joined the Special Olympics and went to World Games, our social media was tagged with the World and National Games. So that's how they knew I was competing in the World and National Games. Yeah. And so we let people know we were going to World and National Games and stuff. And that's how they knew, you know, they knew we were all athletes going there. And so they had our social media accounts were monitored even when we went to Dubai. They were monitored even by that country when we went there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more so monitored by Special Olympics, if anybody. We even had rules on what we couldn't say while we were over there, all a bunch of stuff. It was very, very serious. Very serious, very real when you're in these countries. You have to follow their laws, and a lot of the stuff was out of Special Olympics' hands when it came to being over in another country, so you certainly wanted to study the laws before you went, and I studied the laws before I went over there. Sure did. I didn't just go to a country just because someone said. I wanted to make sure it was safe before I went. That's right. And Dubai is very safe, and I had a very good time as far as doing the activities, but I did not have a good time with a lot of the teammates, that one teammate there. Amen. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Stop.
I'm still here.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody say stop. Okay, I'm sorry. But, yeah, I just think that we're going to excel. And we're going to rise, and that's how I feel in my life. I'm going to rise like clouds going to the next level. Amen. That's going to be my life all the way up, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to take whatever positives we can find. We are going to take all of this, and I'm going to be somebody, and I'm going to become somebody, and I claim it. Amen. Your thoughts?
So do you think about ever doing like a second like account so that because you knew they was tracking that one? Did you ever think about doing a second one so that you could continue telling your story?
Yeah, I did. I actually have a page called Golden Ashton. Yep, Golden Ashton. People can look that up on Facebook and sure can. Yep. So you folks can follow that, look that up, and you know, right ahead. And you have to. You have to have that second page. And I did that, and I continue to tell my story on there and on other apps such as LinkedIn, Clubhouse, Twitter, TikTok, and other apps that folks can find me, including Instagram. So under Golden Ashton, you should be able to find that on YouTube and all those wonderful apps where you can go find people. Look for me today, folks, and the same thing with Cash App. Again, you can Cash App me under Golden Ashton. So I really certainly appreciate it, and I know that upon closing, you like prayer, I like prayer. You know, as we begin to end the show, too, I always like to pray, but certainly any questions, though, before that, and let me know what they think or people have questions before this.
So anyone on the line that has a question, if you have a question, you can press the 1, and I will open your mic so you can ask your question. But I think people just want to listen to your story. I don't think anyone really has a question. I think they just want to listen to your story.
Well, I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that, too. So I want you folks to listen to and research, right, so people can say I'm going to walk away with renewed hope of what. And what I want people to walk away from my story and say, you know what, that was a person that was a person to overcome despite circumstances, visual impairments, or other things, right? People ask me, how did you get into Special Olympics? Oh, why, right? Well, my vision, right? And that's the why, right? Why am I in the program, right? So I'm in that program because I have a visual impairment. And so they accept all, you know, disabilities. And so I was No, but my speaking's very well, and I'm articulate, so there's nothing wrong with, you know, my mind, right, just my vision, right? And so a lot of things I can't read very well because of vision issues or and things like that, but I do the best that I can to the best of my ability to try to get things done, amen, because if I was a quitter, I wouldn't make it this far in life, so I don't quit. And that's one thing I think anybody in this life will understand about me. I'm not a quitter. And as long as people know that, I know that there is hope for me because people always like people who don't quit. Amen.
So I want to ask the and question, so, were you born visually impaired or did something
I was.
To you? You was born visually impaired.
I was. Yeah, I was. And they said they couldn't fix that, right? They couldn't fix the optic nerve or the nerve that has the, you know, the nerves, I think, run in the back of the eye that's optical and all of that. And so you have to understand that the astigmatism and astropia, those eye conditions are tough, and they don't have technology to fix it. Astigmatism is where the eyes shake. Astropia is where the muscles may not have complete control of the eye. And so at the end of the day, I try to explain and in great detail these conditions so people can look them up themselves. Astigmatism, astropia is the condition that I have in my eye, and that's why I wear glasses. But it doesn't mean that I can't play or do things in life. It just means I might have to do them a little different, or I do them slower, or some things I can't do at all. But that doesn't mean that I'm lazy or those types of things. It just means that I might not be able to do it. So in this life, I don't give up, and I try to find ways of doing what I need in this life to make it despite my visual impairment, right? I have a driver's license, right? Amen. You know, knock on wood. I don't run into stuff, so I'm doing something, right? Never ran anybody else. So, hey, look, I'm keeping the car in between the lines, so I've done something, right? The state of Texas, they don't pass out driver's license. They man like hotcakes out here, all right? Look where I'm at. I'm in Texas, all right? You have to prove yourself out here, and if you can prove yourself out here, you might be able to make it. New York has that thing. But you get the idea that you'll make it out here because Texas is rugged and unforgiving in some ways, and I am a person that overcomes despite circumstances, amen. That's what I want people to take from my story today, and I hope it empowers them, and I hope you don't mind if I pray. If you have any closing remarks like that, let me know.
Do you have any – I want to ask you, do you have any encouraging words for people that have been visually impaired, and they're saying to themselves, why me, or questioning why God made them be impaired? Do you have any encouraging words for them?
Yeah, and anybody with a disability, even outside of people with visual impairments, man, because I questioned a lot of stuff, especially after my mom's death, and like, why me? You know, why am I here? Because honest to God, truth, I depended on my mother financially. My mother took care of me. I'm her child, so that's 100. But if you do have a disability, just say within yourself that I can be somebody, I'm going to be someone, and I'm going to grow in that. And just because you have a disability, God can use that disability in many ways. And God can use this disability to help you overcome whatever it may be. Someone said for me, talking is that's going to be your way out. So if you have a talent despite your disability, amen, use it, because you never know how the Lord Jesus Christ can use that talent to shape you into somebody. And those are encouraging words. Seek the word of God if you can, or if you believe in that. Some people don't, and I understand that. Seek to do something positive in your life, whatever that may be, that's positive and keeps you strong in this life. And that's what I try to do every day. I get involved in my church, and I do things. And so you don't want to sit in the house all day, and you don't want to dwell. So what I do is I get out of the house, and I go do things as much as I can, and that's what's important. And when you do that, you begin to find that the world's a much greater and bigger place than what you may perceive in the small world you see. I'll say that again. The world's a big old place. It's a great place. And the world that you may perceive may be different. And so at the end of the day, enjoy this great, mighty world that God gave us. Enjoy what we have from this planet. And we can all be grateful for what we have, because there's always what? Somebody that's a little bit more worse off than you. I always am told that, and I'm always knowing that. And so I am grateful for the small things, and I'm grateful for the great things when they come. God says he gives us great responsibility, and those essentially who have the power to give help, give it. For those who do not have the power to give help, you can at least make somebody's day by being positive. Amen.
Amen.
And so I know that you're about to close this show. Do you mind if I pray, or the audience, are they okay with prayer? Closing
I'm
prayer?
Fine with you saying the prayer.
Okay, sure. All right, so at this time I come to God, and knowing that we come to you, Heavenly Father, at this time I'm grateful for this Saturday evening as the sun sets below the horizon. Time now is 7:11, God, so we know that time is on our side, Heavenly Father, knowing that we lean on you every day. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to watch people as they go, watch over them as they sleep, knowing, Heavenly Father, that we must find encouragement and hope in our lives, and knowing that we can do any and everything with your help, your might, and your grace. I ask for God's grace and mercy upon us as we continue to grapple in this world and make it in this world, and we know that we can. I ask God to keep people safe and keep us safe as a nation, and knowing that the blood of Jesus lands on us. Heavenly Father, we must land on you and know that you are here. Heavenly Father, under your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and your name in three accords, I know that I can do all things in the Father who strengthens me, and we say amen and amen. God bless you for your endeavors and those who continue. The disclaimer today for me is this. For those who have listened to this station today, the opinions that I may have expressed, that does not have to do with the Special Olympics. Only the opinions I have here today only are my opinions only. The opinions that I may express also have nothing to do with the host, meaning that the opinions are only my opinions for me and what I've been through. These opinions are not concerning other athletes or people in the Special Olympics. Only me does not concern the staff or people. At the end of the day, these are only the fair and honest opinions that I may say and state in this disclaimer. Amen.
Amen.
Is that fair? You got to say that, right? I got to have a disclaimer. So God bless you, miss. I hope to do this again. This was absolutely a blast. I had fun. Bang, bang. This was absolutely fun. Thank you to Pastor Don, Junior CEO, the Elite 300 winning team members brought to you by them. I'm very, very excited, and I hope to be back on here when we can.
So you're more than come back. You know, if there's more need to add, like a lawyer to the case, you want to call back and say, the lawyer took my case, we're going to trial, or we're going to arbitration about it, you could,
Yeah, and I can, once we get that next ball rolling, yes, then that'll be an opportunity. And once we get the things on the air, because attorneys may have things you can talk about, you know how that goes. So all that, he'll sit down with me, and we'll get all that ironed out. And, yeah, I'd love to come back. I love it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love it. So I absolutely would love it. So I had a great time tonight. All the audience out there, thank you guys for listening, and I really appreciate it. And once you send me this link, ma'am, I'll get it up, and I'll share it immediately on the double. And share it out to everybody, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much,
I appreciate that you joined the show today to tell your story, because everybody's story needs to be heard.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I'm glad your audience and people.
You know, we always get one side of the story. There's two people involved in the story. And we always got to get both sides, but being that the Special Olympics is a big organization, we're getting your side first, because you're the victim of the situation, not Special Olympics. So you're the victim of the situation. You want to get your side of the story, and I'm sure that if your catches fire and, like, local news want to talk to you about it, I'm sure they're going to have somebody speak on their behalf, going to tell their side of the story.
the Dallas Observer, they gave them a chance to tell their side of the story, both papers, the Dallas Morning News and Dallas Observer, and they essentially told the Dallas Observer that money was prohibited. I'm like, wait a minute, how is that telling your side of the story? If anything, that's pretty much saying what I've always said, that money's prohibited. They just said it for me. I'm like, wow. So the, even news publications have given them the opportunity to tell their side of the story, and they didn't want to. So certainly send them an email, and if they want to tell their side of the story, great. If they don't, yeah, but I always give them a chance. But everybody has tried to give them a chance to speak up, and they won't. Every station, podcast, anything I've been on has tried to give them a chance, and they won't respond to them. That's what's a shame. So you're not the only one if they don't respond to you. So that's what I was trying to tell you. So don't feel bad if they don't get back to you.
No. I'm not one of questions and pictures responding, saying we have a lot of side story. If I'm on the radiation and they're to find out about me, have a conversation with you, and they want to say something, again, you know, say no, you can't say hi. I'm going to let them tell
right.
It's two sides of a coin. You got heads and tails, right?
Yeah, and you have to say if they can, you know, the biggest thing is proving that. And I can prove that I don't get paid. So it's just been a great night and a great story. And I really can't get this stuff ready. I'm going to get it ready to go and get it down to Pastor Don's UCO, and we'll get this shared across all the social media links and stuff. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah,
I feel really good about this
story. Well, I will send that to you as soon as I log out of the station. Send that to you.
Okay. And I'll get it to him. Well, I certainly, man, appreciate everything tonight. It's been a big blessing, man. I appreciate everybody.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You too, and I hope you have a great rest of your night, man. And I thank you for letting me pray. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You too. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
God bless y'all.
God bless.
Love.
Okay. Well, we just had Ashton Smith on telling her story about the Special Olympics and I appreciate Pastor Don Jr., CEO, you know, linking us together to have this happen, because her story needed to be, you know, you see a lot of people work with certain organizations, and it doesn't ever go in their favor. They tell their side of the story, the organization tries to shut them up so their story won't get told. She's her story. You can read her book, as she stated. If you missed the interview, you can always play it back in the archives. Once the show is done, it will be archived. You can play it back in the archives and listen back to what she was saying to get an understanding. Because as an athlete, doesn't matter if you're in the NBA, the NFL, doesn't matter if you're a baseball player, doesn't matter what sport. If your speaking point for the organization, why wouldn't you get paid for you speaking? For speaking engagements, when you're speaking for the organization, you don't have the money to travel back and forth to different places to do speaking engagements. If the organization will allocate money to have so that you can go and do the speaking engagements, pay for your hotel, stuff like that, if you're not making money from it. But when she said that, they wouldn't allow her make money for herself. And she's no longer, if I'm no longer part of an organization, you don't write to me anymore. That contract that I signed with is now null and void because I'm no longer part of your organization. So that contract is null and void. But she said it was with her when she signed that contract. So no telling what they put in that contract for her to sign. And sometimes they will put it, like she said, she can't monetize herself. And why is it because she's making money off of her. Monetize herself, right? All that money they make on her stops. All that money they were making off her stops. So by putting in the contract, you can't monetize yourself while in the organization. Any money coming in to the organization because of what she's doing for the organization, they're making a whole lot of money. If I'm going to be representing an organization, one, I need you for whenever you need me to do speaking engagements, go on to radio stations, go to different conferences to speak to the organization. Because the organization needs to pay for my hotel, I have the people on the organization pay for my hotel. Money is not out of my pocket to do these speaking engagements. But no, some organizations are not going to do that because you're their cash cow. They want you to be their cash cow to know when you're their cash cow until you start realizing it because an organization think because you have a disability, don't understand what's going on. So they cheat you. They can cheat you. And she's visually impaired. She doesn't have no mental issues. She understands what's going on through the organization. Now she has mental issues. Yeah, mental issues. She probably can understand. She can understand. She can comprehend. That's sad. That organizations like that are taking advantage of people. These organizations are worth billions, millions, billions of dollars, and the people that help bring the millions and billions of dollars to the organization are not getting no money from it. How is she supposed, if she's under your organization, doing your organization, how is she supposed to survive? So money's supposed to come out of her pocket every time there's a speaking engagement that she got to get to. Even if she has to fly or drive to another town that's close by, still, there's money coming out of her pocket to speak to your organization should be allocating funds for all that. So she's all these speaking engagements. But no, and if money was allocated for that, somebody in that organization given that money. We have to think about that too. That money, if there was money allocated for her to do speaking engagements, somebody was keeping that money. And this is why money was coming out of her pocket to do this stuff, not the pocket to help her. There might be a chance of just them not allocating funds for her to monetize her. So it might be something bigger than her story. And her story might be the can to open up a bigger can of worms. When you think about it, her story might be the catalyst. Because there's a lot of companies, big companies, that are here that the CEO or someone in the company taking money from the company without knowing. Nicki, name made up, who you know, he took all that money from people who were trying to, he took all that from them people. Thing, this money you send into, all that money they making through donations, they have to allocate to pay for her to go here and there, Special Olympics, and you know, to get people involved in, you know, more people involved in it. You know, they just got sponsorship through Jersey Mike's. That's money coming in, that could be, that's another bit of money that's coming in allocated to the athletes you have doing speaking engagements, going on radio stations, saying this is what's going on at the Special Olympics. We got the Special Olympics happening here. That's money that they can allocate. You got sponsorship from all these corporations. For you, as a Special Olympics or any organization that gets sponsored from these corporations, what do you do with that money? I think her story is going to open up a bigger can of worms. I think that's what her story is going to do. Open up a bigger can of worms that we are people. No, we as the people, when we hear the story, we're not going to be shocked. Especially us people, we're not going to be shocked. We're not going to be shocked. When that story comes out, because look at, recently, I would say last time, or February, there was a story out about BLM, Black Lives Matter. They was getting all this money, and they brought a $6 million mansion. And the woman, one of the women who started Black Lives Matter, left the organization. And when the story came out about them buying the $6 million mansion, the woman who started it but is no longer working with them is the one talking about they bought the mansion. What the mansion is going to be for? You're an activist organization, and a $6 million mansion. For a program, because they start some programs, and they were using the mansion for that, like podcasting, you know, stuff like that. That's what the mansion was going to be used for, and like when people come, I guess the guests can stay there, and they don't have to put up a hotel or whatever. But $6 million, though, because we think $6 million is like thinking like, how many rooms is this mansion? Because when I hear celebrities say, "Oh, I got a 7-bedroom mansion," if it's just you living in there, what do you need 7 bedrooms for? Like 7 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. What do you need 7 bedrooms for? I get it. Some people got big families, because I got a big family, so I get it. When your family come, you know what I'm saying? That you gonna have to stand up. I get that. But this is Black Lives Matter. This is not like some rent a regular person buying a $1 million home. This is Black Lives Matter. It's like, and I. Mr. Roland Martin, because I love watching the show, and he was saying, you know, being that you no longer part of the BLM, Why are you speaking for BLM? Somebody who's still a part of it should be the one speaking about this $6 million mansion. So they're trying to say, you know, they're trying to say BLM is a fraud. They're scamming people out of their money. I never donated money to BLM. I've never donated to BLM. Like, if the organization needs, like, a signature for a petition or something, yes. But as far as donating money, no. Give me my signature. I'm going to give you my signature. But donating money, I need to know exactly where my money is going. Because I'm tired of having millionaires off of people who donate money, and money's not really. I think that someone said, that the money that the people been donating to Red Cross on, like, their big, when passes, like, I think a third of that money, whatever money, amount of money they raise, I think a third of that money goes to the disaster area and they keep the rest. No. If you're an organization and I'm donating money to your organization for this cause, for a cause, all the money raised for that cause should go to that cause. It ain't no you give a third or you get half. No, all that money. If you raise $6 million for earthquake disaster, then $6 million should be going to the place where that earthquake disaster happened. It shouldn't be no third, it shouldn't be no half. The whole $6 million should be going there. So yeah. So I'm going to end the show right now. I appreciate Asa for calling in, sharing her story. I appreciate Pastor Don Jr., CEO, for linking us up and tuning in as well, and everybody else part of the winning team that has called in and tuned in. No question, but called in and tuned in. I appreciate that as well. I got to for my next show, so I want to get some rest to wind down, you know, before I get into my next show, which is at 11 p.m., which is Saturday night. So you hear nothing but the best in indie music. So if you want to tune in and hear some great indie music, you can. Just call back 347-202-8. And I'll be back next Saturday at 7 with another Sixth Road. So I'm going to say peace, one love. I appreciate you. Bye-bye now.